You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is 6 minutes after six on a Friday morning as we get ready for another weekend. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you are here. Welcome to a special edition of Where in the World is Jamie Martinson? Your voice sounds very deep, with the very Brenda Vaccaro-y with this microphone. Yes, you're in a blurred bunker somewhere.
I am. I'm in a motel. Nobody needs to see the background of the motel.
Oh,
we are in Iowa City, Iowa. We unfortunately have a funeral to go to later today in the vicinity. So we made our way down here. We got here about 10:30, quarter to 11 last night. Okay. Then made sure that, you know, everything was working properly. Turns out that when you tell your husband to bring all portions of a microphone, you should double check his work, because he brought the microphone. He did not bring the stand. So that's the other reason I have things blurred, because nobody needs to see this janky little operation that we have set up here. So we're staying at a stay bridge. And if you've ever been at a stay bridge, you know that that's essentially like having a little apartment. And so we went to the kitchen. We utilized the utensils cup, and then we put a paper towel in it to hold the microphone. Now, it's all good if I don't move.
Yeah, that's... You're like MacGyver.
We are.
Frank, you're a husband. How long do you think Jamie's husband is going to have this hanging over his head? I'm going to say till he's 6 feet under dirt.
Yeah, I don't know how Jamie likes to do things in their household, but I'm sure it'll just be a very subtle...
You'll remember to do that, like you remembered...
Yeah.
Yes. Subtle digs in that Midwest nice kind of passive aggressive move that you
in Jamie's special way. Yes.
Like if he ever says to her, Jamie, don't forget. Oh, like the microphone stand.
Yes, that's
like
right.
But it's never gonna end. It's just gonna keep going. There's no end date on this.
Of course. Hopefully we live very long, productive lives. And when I'm like 92, I'm still reminding him of the mic stand moment. So I'm hoping that's how it goes. But no, we made it work. So just guys, remind me not to move too much this morning. Okay.
Can I also, before we get into our big question, do you believe in jinxes at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842? Frank, your partner in producing, Parker is a technical producer. Frank
is
the
executive
producer.
Yes, look at how handsome.
What is going on with our little Parker?
Who is this guy?
He is, oh my gosh.
No.
Parker, you look 4 years younger, which makes you almost illegal to be working. That's amazing. Haircut and a shave. The beard is gone.
What prompted it?
I had been thinking about getting, not quite getting rid of it, but I'd been thinking about it for a while. I was like, we're getting a little mountain man-ish. So we decided.
You can trim those up, right? You know that if you don't want to get rid of the whole thing.
I know, yeah.
Okay,
Looking back, I should have kept more than I did. Right now, I think it's like an eighth of an inch that I've got left.
It'll grow.
Yeah, it'll grow back, but I don't know.
Well, you look super handsome.
Parker knows that we're coming in next week and we're heading to town.
Oh, he wanted to get specially.
So he wanted to be all cleaned up.
You've seen
through
it.
Is that right?
Now.
Okay,
I think
Parker.
So.
Well, my guys. Yes.
Wow, that's very nice that you would do that. You'd go to that effort for Frank and me.
Well, I mean, you've got to treat you guys right.
I guess. Well, since we're going to be your mentors.
Yes, that's right.
That's true. You're going to be in the workplace. Yeah.
That's right.
I got to be his wingman. I'll go up to all the ladies and be like, you see that clean shaven young man over there?
Look at that young man. Doesn't he look well kept and.
Go up to him and tell him that you love watching D3 football and he's yours.
That'll get me talking. Frank, don't know. That'll get me going.
Who is the allegedly really bad defensive back that's coming to Whitewater this year?
Ooh, a I'm not deep supposed to get into that.
Deep cut.
That could be anybody.
It could be anybody. Could be anybody. All right. Now, we got to get to this. Jinxes and superstitions. Because, Frank, I know this was very exciting for you. Probably not so much for Jamie and Parker. But Caleb Williams, the Iceman, QB1 for your Chicago Bears. King of the North. That's right. Kings of the North, the Chicago Bears. Wow. Parker, you want to repeat that? I don't think I heard myself.
No, I Say think it. You're fine. Say it, Parker. You won one time.
Who is the reigning?
Twice.
Twice.
They won twice.
Okay. Twice.
You won the division.
I'll give them that.
You were the reigning divisional champions.
That's right.
Whatever.
Anyway, Caleb Williams is going to be on the cover of Madden. What is it? Madden 2026?
27.
It's always a year ahead.
All right. Yeah, Madden. I've never played Madden.
You've never played Madden? Not once?
Not once.
Not even a,
really?
Here, sir, here's a controller.
Never once means never once, Frank.
All right.
I did not stutter. Boys, I came up before video games.
You had
just not a
like
thing
Pong.
Then for you, right?
Pong and I had Atari.
Pong.
Man.
Did have Pong. And I was wicked good at Pong.
Did you have any of those wicked good? Did you have any of those like handheld ones? Because we had like a handheld football game that was like maybe
it was just the dashes. It was just
the little lights.
Yeah. I mean, I had that.
Yeah.
But I like this all. Here's the thing. I played Guitar Hero twice. Tried to play Call of Duty once. It didn't come with any instructions, and I didn't know how. And I went next door and asked my neighbor's kid. I go, "How do I do it?" He goes, "You just do it." And I'm like, "No, okay, that's good." I was dead within the first 6 seconds. It looked cool, and I wanted to play because they had gotten me a controller shaped like a handgun, so I wanted to be able to play.
That sounds very exciting.
It was, but I couldn't do it. I didn't have anybody in the house who could teach me. Molly didn't do video games either.
We did. My boys were Madden fans, especially my older one. So for the longest time, we had until he could start paying for things himself and working. We probably had every version of Madden from the time he was about 6 or 7 until he was about 16. Then I think he went to online, and then he purchases the online Madden subscription every year because he has a super duper gaming computer, so it can handle it. He doesn't need the actual video game system. And then he also has Xbox controllers that he can use with his computerized gaming system. So I'm not a computer guy.
Is that a technical term, Jamie? Super duper gaming computer?
Yes. It's one of those that all of the graphics are completely set up just for fast paced gaming.
Oh, really?
And it's like he's serious about it. But then he also uses that same computer because he's a videographer. So he uses that same computer then for editing and things like that. So he needs one of those big graphics cards that can handle things, can work really fast. And then he got as much memory as he could in it, and then he went out and he added more to it. So it's all decked out for any gaming, or he says it's for work and for video.
That's totally for gaming. That's what you tell the IRS when you're writing.
That's right.
Frank, are you nervous that Caleb, because this is a curse, the Madden curse.
It's a curse, yeah.
Yeah.
It is the Madden curse. Yeah, I'm nervous. You finally got one good season.
Are you worried about that, him being on the cover of Madden, or that the Bears are going to actually be playing in a parking lot? We don't know what parking lot.
I think the Bears are going to be playing in a parking lot.
Maybe that's their curse this year.
I think
maybe that's the curse.
That could be the curse.
And you know what? Jamie's they deserve it. This whole thing has been such a clown show.
Well, why is it being so mishandled?
Because it's the Bears. That's everything's mishandled with the Bears.
The McCaskies have no money.
It also has to involve officials from the state and from the city, and it doesn't feel like anybody knows how to handle the Bears' home situation right now.
That's because taxpayers have been burned on using public money for stadiums in the past. And they're just nobody is in a financial position as a human to say, I want, even if I'm a huge Bears fan, I need to put more of my tax money into a team that rakes in millions and millions of dollars.
And their lease at Soldier Field, I believe, is until 2032.
Yeah.
So they still owe a bunch of money.
Oh, so they owe a bunch of money. Okay.
Yeah, they owe a bunch of money. They want taxpayer funds to pay for the stadium. They went out and, here's my favorite part, is when they went out and did Arlington Heights, which has just been sitting there for how many years now?
Yeah.
And then they had Congress look at it, and they're like, oh, you didn't even go and check the traffic pattern yet and have that assessed. We're not even going to touch this until you do that.
Because there's no chance. The way it is, the way it's laid out now, there's no chance you could have a giant stadium there. It was bad enough with a racetrack with traffic. It's just a four-lane road outside of the site.
Wow. Yeah. So are they still looking? I mean, this is why I defer to the two of you being Bears fans and in Illinois. So then are they still looking at Hammond and Gary as the potential Indiana?
They're not looking
as
at
the potential
Gary.
Site?
No, Gary is not on the table.
I thought it was
Gary
really
sure they. Shut up, Jamie.
I thought it was really
not looking at Gary. They're looking at Hammond. Madden it cover. Smells slightly less bad.
I hear there's a Paducah, Kentucky contingent that is trying to. Try to get everybody involved.
The Paducah Bears. That'd be
Paducah
awesome.
Paducah Bears.
Chicago Bears via Paducah.
So now has any Packer been on Madden and did the curse come to fruition?
I can't remember all the covers. You guys would know better
That's
than
That's a good question.
I am here to ask good questions.
Because Rodgers was on the cover as a Packer a few different times, right?
I think the most recent time he was on there, it was as like the deluxe edition or something when there were like three different covers, so he was only on one of them.
Oh, so the jinx doesn't matter then?
Possibly. I think.
Okay. It's like a three-way jinx, and then it just evens itself out.
Hold on now.
We found the loophole.
Hold on.
Oh.
Okay, what? Did you find some evidence?
Brett Favre is on the cover.
Yeah. Okay.
In 2009.
Okay.
What year did he leave? Was it that next year?
It was that off-season, wasn't it?
If memory serves right. I believe so.
Okay.
It was around that time.
Little something there.
So if we're going to talk about the Bears, can we also, as Packers fans, Parker and I mentioned that Christian Watson got signed to a four-year deal yesterday, $110.5 million. It's a $31 million signing bonus, and that comes on the heels after they signed Jaden Reed to a three-year deal before the draft to $50.25 million. And obviously, we'll see how the money breaks down.
Nice work if you can get it. Holy cow.
Yes, and the Packers are always, seem like exorbitant amounts of money because, the NFL. But the Packers are always really good about spreading that out and doing signing bonuses so it doesn't actually affect the cap as much as it would for other teams. Russ Ball is like the financial guru over at Lombardi Avenue. And kind of a genius at this contract thing. So it's going to be interesting to see the breakdown of it because people freaked out about Jaden Reed. Turned out it wasn't as big of a cap hit as the initial numbers looked. So we'll see. We'll see what Christian Watson's are. But he's sticking around. That's good news.
That's good news. If Frank, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll knock on wood. We'll throw salt over our shoulder. We won't break
mirrors.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. Anyway.
Hold on, Frank. Is this the new...
You're going to Gary, Indiana, boys. I couldn't believe on the Madden cover that it was the Chicago skyline. And
they already have
Indiana,
the Gary Railcats minor league baseball team.
All right.
They
Time
can play
go.
Right there. All right. We got to go. You want to adopt a cow? It's Daybreak on Civic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
6:22 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your Friday morning. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved with the program today, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. People talk about adopting dogs, cats, perhaps a ferret. What about adopting a cow? Now, adopt a cow is a legit program. And
it
don't
is.
before you start getting wild ideas. I wonder if my apartment complex would allow that. No, it's over 50 pounds. You can't adopt a cow. But Wisconsin dairy farms are helping students learn where their food comes from through the program Adopt a Cow. It allows participants to follow a calf's growth and development throughout the school year. So more than 56% of participants come from urban areas, and all they know about cows is driving past them on the interstate
and going
moo every time you see it. My wife, who's well past grade school age, still moos every time she sees a cow.
Well, that's because she's a great person. I love that she still does
that. No, she still does it. And I wonder if they hear her. I wonder if they're like, why, who's taking you away from us? But she zips by without anything to worry about. So students, classrooms, homeschool groups, daycare centers, nursing homes, adult education programs can all participate. Each group is assigned a calf and receive monthly photos. It's like those old Sally Struthers commercials.
I love this.
For $40, you can adopt a calf.
Except and it's free.
Covered in flies, and it's just like the kids that used to use as props on those commercials.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. There's a website that you can go to do this if you're interested in doing it. It's discoverdairy.com/adopt. I'm over there right now because I'm adopting a cow.
I was going to say, can we adopt one for the show? We have a Daybreak?
I'm doing it right now. I'm filling out the forms and everything right
Daisy
now.
Daisy the Daybreak Dairy Cow.
I'm, by the end of this segment, I'm really hoping to know who my cow is and I have a name because that would be really, really awesome.
All right.
But what I love is that this will include operations. The farms participating in this include operations in Eau Claire, Watertown, Kewaunee, and also Lancaster. So it really is an opportunity for kiddos to see how farms work and to really understand that, you know, it takes effort to raise these cows
yes.
in order to get them to produce milk. And by the way, how did we not know yesterday was National Cheese Day? We live in the dairy state. How
I
did I not
it
know
till
this?
Later. That was
I know. I feel like that is
now.
A huge admission.
I'm going to blame Frank. He's the executive producer. That's something Frank should have on the top of the rundown. Hey, today's Cheese Day. Get all bound up.
That's right. But this is also one of those programs that essentially teaches students that there are a lot of careers throughout the entire country and specifically in Wisconsin that relate to agriculture, not just farming, but also veterinary medicine, nutrition, herd management, and other businesses around agriculture. But and if you don't know, 120,000 jobs statewide basically are because of the dairy industry in Wisconsin, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. And the fact that it is such a big part of who we are as a culture and as a state. And I'm still adopting my cow over here. So I'll let
some
forms.
No, that would be fine. I think this is a great idea, especially for kids in urban areas. Of course, my mind goes in bad places all the time. I'm like, I'm glad this is not a beef ranch because dairy cows, I'm guessing they have a happy ending. I go to the state fair and the dairy cows all seem very happy because they're just eating hay and bloated and they just get milked all the time. It'd be interesting to also teach kids the other, you know, that, hey, these are other animals and this is part of the life cycle, and it's part of it's also part. I've always wondered how kids who are in 4-H and they raise hogs or you know, beef cattle, and it's like, boy, you put all this in, and I guess I come from a pet perspective, and it would be hard for me not to have emotional attachments to these animals that I'm raising, knowing that in the end they're going to take my prize-winning hog and make bacon out of him.
Yes.
I know that's a farm thing and it's a different mentality. And I'm not saying it's not wrong. It's just coming from the city. I mean, I know where my meat comes from. I just haven't raised it. So that was always my like, how do you guys do this?
And it's interesting because I did grow up in 4-H with friends who raised livestock for those specific purposes. And because they were so used to it, yeah, there was always that moment of, especially when they showed them, because they got very attached to them because you'd have to work with them, brush them. Yeah. There was always that moment for them that they were like, you know, yeah, it's really hard. And they would be upset for a day or so. But then they also realized that it was part of just the culture that they grew up in.
Yeah.
And they essentially, I don't want to say got over it because it is still a living creature, but at the same time they were like, well, it is what it is. This is what we do, and this is what our family does, and this brought our family. Yep, exactly. So they just, you know, they went about their business and they did what they needed to do.
Yeah.
I'm still filling out my form here. It is a lengthy form, by the way.
I was going to say, this seems like something perhaps an off the air experience, but,
I just got to the end.
But where do you fit in? You're not a student. You're not a classroom. You're not a homeschool group.
I put it as a business that we were interested in this. And so I am still working on
but
this.
Then I want to go meet the cow that we adopted. And I want to put the Daybreak brand on it. Can you brand the dairy cow?
I don't think they probably want us to brand the dairy cow.
If we're sponsoring it, I want it to be like NASCAR. I want our cow to be completely covered in stickers and
all
branding.
Of it, right? Yes.
And I want to find out, what can I feed this cow naturally, of course, to help it produce the most. I want our cow to be the biggest milk producer on the farm. I want people to go, that Daybreak cow could really give it to it.
All right. I was just enrolled in the Adopt a Cow program, people.
All right. Congratulations. You did
Thank you.
Just in time for us
I
to
did.
Say, hey, here's some stupid news. How do you feel about some governors rebranding Pride Month?
Oh, my God.
That's right. We'll talk about it next on Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. She's Jamie Martinson. This is the Civic Media Network.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network, 6:35 right now. And if you're listening in Madison on WMDX or in Wausau on WXCO, La Crosse on WLCX, thank you so much for having us on this Friday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. We have very exciting news. Jamie's
a
new mom.
I am a new mom. I'm so excited. If you're on the stream watching this morning, you can see a photo because we adopted a cow this year through this Discovered Dairy program that we were talking about last segment. And here's the thing. I've got the email in my inbox right now. It turns out that we will not start getting information about the cow we adopted until September 22nd. So I've got to wait a little bit.
Save the date.
That's
Frank,
right.
I hope Frank is putting on a baby shower. We want to have, well, we don't have to have a gender release party.
We don't.
Because we know all dairy cows are female. But
yes.
We could still have one and just have it come out brown or white or black and white because we don't know what dairy cow we're getting.
And I'm excited to find out the name and to learn more about this cow that we adopted. But yes, so we have officially here on Daybreak adopted a cow. I'm so excited to get more details over the next few months. September 22nd, I'll have that on my calendar.
We don't do a show from our adopted baby cow's home. We're not good adoptive parents. That's
we
all
are
I'm
not.
Saying.
We are not. And I do want to remind everybody, if you want to sign up for this program and you don't want to wait until, you know, September to see how raising a cow in agriculture works, remember those Wisconsin Dairy Breakfasts kick off this weekend. And if you want to see what breakfasts are closest to you in your county or your neighboring counties, just go to wisconsindairy.org. They've got an entire list over there when you do a little searching, little clicking, and you can find all of them by dates, where they're located. They've got the address, where to park, everything. It's a very nicely laid out website. So again, that is wisconsindairy.org if you want to see where all of those dairy breakfasts are. I mean,
waiting till
September is awesome, and I'm so excited to do so. But, you know, if you can get out to a farm now and eat some good breakfast at the same time and support our local dairy dairy farmers and see how it operates, I think that's a win-win situation, honestly.
Yeah, and ask around. Maybe our cow's out there already. We don't know sizes yet, so don't send gifts. You can send us one for Cows R Us, and then we'll buy the cow whatever it needs once we get sizes, because I don't think 2T is going to fit.
No, I don't. No, that would fit like an ear, I think. I think that's about how that would happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we have some good news, because now, man, Republicans on some level, and this issue falls heavily on Republicans, but this is Republican governors who are now deciding, you know, June is Pride Month. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the LGBTQ plus community, you should appreciate everybody's right to do and live how they want. You can never fully understand what it's like to be a member of that community unless you're a member of that community. Just like I'm not black, so I can't understand fully what it's like to be a black American. But I can appreciate Black History Month. I can celebrate and appreciate why Juneteenth is a thing and Martin Luther King. All those things, you can appreciate it. But now, several Republican governors have decided to turn June to Nuclear Family Month, Strong Families Month, or Fidelity Month, creating alternative observances during Pride Month. Governors in Indiana, which does not surprise me, that's another reason we don't want the Bears to go there, and Tennessee proclaimed it Nuclear Family Month, while Alabama designed Strong Families Month, and Utah and Arkansas proclaimed Fidelity Month, emphasizing family, faith, and traditional values. And I'm wondering if you are in the LGBTQ plus community and you are married, how this makes you feel, because from reports I've read, there's less divorce than there is in the straight community. Marriages last a longer time. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't, what are you afraid of? Why does it bother you? Why is it any of your business?
It's nobody's business, not to mention the fact that one of the things that I think is ironic about this is that there's a lot of folks in the LGBTQ community that are strong families.
Yes.
They do have a nuclear family. The kids are very well adjusted. They're happy. They live as families. They work as families. They operate as already this nuclear unit. So really, aren't you just also including them in this overarching month that you're trying to celebrate while you try to exclude Pride Month?
It really doesn't
make any sense.
It's not the way God intended it, Jamie. It's not. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's the dumbest arguments. It's the same people who are like, "Why isn't there a white History Month?" I don't know, because we pretty much have run the show since it started. We were not an oppressed group, like Black Americans, like gay and lesbians. We didn't have to hide who we were for our entire life until the Supreme Court finally decided in 2015 that we could get married to the people we love. I'm not gay. I don't care if somebody gets married. Listen,
no.
If you want to subject yourself to the horrors of marriage like straight people, God bless you. Good luck. I don't care. You know what? It doesn't affect me in the least. I have friends who are gay. Some are in relationships. One is married. Some are single. Just like my non-gay friends. Who cares?
Right.
Because I take those. I only use those labels for this example, not for like.
Right.
I don't introduce her. Hey, this is my gay friend.
What I find fascinating about this is that these states are taking it even further than that, though, because there's been legislation, there's been resolutions that have been promoted in some of these states for Family Month or Fidelity Month, and it's all in Republican-led states. And by the way, Pride Month has been a thing. It's been observed nationally since the 1970s. So this isn't a new concept. This isn't anything new. And is it because the celebrations keep getting bigger that they're offended?
I think it stirs something in some people that they don't want stirred, to be honest with you, and that I'm not joking. And to see, because you can't, if you've ever been to a Pride parade, and I'm old enough to remember when it was gay pride. It was called the Gay Pride Parade. Mm-hmm. Now it's the Pride Parade. If you've never been to one, It's outrageously fun. It is the closest thing you can get to Mardi Gras or Brazil, like a parade in Rio, that you can get. People are having fun. And
they are having a great time. There's love. There's it feels. It's acceptance, inclusivity, and you don't have to feel weird about who you are at those events. And is that what it is? Do they feel out of place when these things are celebrated? Because these organizers in all of these states where there's alternative months that the GOP wants to celebrate, they're not backing down. They're not changing their celebrations because these particular Republican-led states want to whitewash, essentially, and the observance of Pride Month. They're going to hold their celebrations. They still are inviting everybody. They're asking people to please come to find out what our community is all about. And they've actually been able to open it up to more people because of what's happening in these particular states. So I love that they're using it as a promotional factor and not changing anything that they were doing. I mean, and that's the thing that they say, too, is the people in our community, the folks in our community that will be celebrating Pride Month are nuclear families. They're parents. They're loving couples. So this argument that, you know, Fidelity Month, Nuclear Family Month, yes, thank you for including us in that, too, is essentially what organizers of these Pride events are saying. So I love that from them.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, and it's a fear-based thing, and it's an old-school bigotry. And imagine, because most of us can't imagine being marginalized like that. Having to live, imagine having to live as somebody you're not, and having to hide who you really are. And if you are in a relationship, if you wanted to get married prior to 2015, if you were in love with somebody, you don't have to understand it. But imagine having to hide that.
Right.
Like look at your spouse, your significant other, and go, what if I couldn't tell anybody that I was involved with them because I could lose my job, or I would be, you know, people would brand me as something else. I'm a teacher and people would think I'm some sort of pervert because there's still people who think that. Oh, what about, you know, being around kids? And Mark just from Prairie du Sac just says, Fidelity with their Tangerine Tyrant is an example of, the president. Yeah. And I thank you, Mark, for using Tangerine Tyrant. Copyright 2026, Brian Noonan Enterprises.
What I also find fascinating about this is the fact that none of this is new.
No.
And the fact that Pride Month, again, has been celebrated since the 1970s, but I think you hit on an important point. The fact that there has been so much rhetoric against the LGBTQ community over the last few years. And I think it would be fascinating when you talk about, stories of how they've had to hide who they are. That is still happening. I have friends who will tell these heartbreaking stories and have basically had to find whole new families once they came out.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Right? Because somebody actually can't accept you. And I can't imagine being a parent. And there are things that in this world you never imagine for your kids. One of the things that if they would come home and say, I'm part of the LGBTQ community, I'm gay, I'd be like, okay. You know, it doesn't change who you are as a person. It doesn't change how much I love you.
No, it's just I think as a parent, if that happens, you accept it and you just realize now your child is, and not so much now, but in the past it was, boy, my kid's life is going to be much tougher than I wanted it to be. And there's nothing I can do about it because that's society. But these people are in the minority because a new Gallup poll found that 65% of Americans support same-sex marriage. Now, that is down a little from 2022 when it was 71%. The shift is driven by, Republicans. Only 37% of Republicans say same-sex marriage should be legal. And I would love to hear the reasons why not. If I'm with somebody for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, and I'm not legally married to them, and we've had we've built a home together, and we have joint funds, and we have everything else. And I can't make decisions for them when they're dying, and I can't make financial decisions for us.
Yeah,
that is it. That's a travesty. So how do you justify that, people who are against same-sex marriage? And and the other people are just the ones who go, it's not, it's morally objectionable. All right. And I'm sure everything you do is above board. You know, I'm sure your pastor who was arrested for child pornography is the paragon of virtue that we should all ascribe to.
I mean, and I think that's the thing. When you look back to that 2015 decision, that was a decision that seemed to me like it shouldn't have even had any discussion. Just make the decision. And, you know, if you were on the fence about Joe Biden as a president, remember it was Joe Biden who actually got Barack Obama to come around on that one.
Yep.
Which I find fascinating with as much as his faith means to him.
I mean it. No malarkey. We got to legalize that same-sex marriage.
Right.
Michael, real quick, Michael is listening on WMDX. He said, my husband and I have been together for 40 years and legally married for 11.
Congrats.
We're just like our straight friends. These straight celebrations are ludicrous. Happy anniversary. Congrats on 40 years, Michael.
Congrats. I love
That's terrific. All right, when we come back, oh, this story is just for Frank. It's a big weekend in Milwaukee. We'll talk about it. I'm Brian. She's Jamie. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. How do you feel about Banana Ball coming to Milwaukee this weekend? Are you excited? Did you score tickets? I would love to hear from you if you got tickets, because I've been in the lottery for a year and a half, 2 years, I've not gotten any tickets. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This story, and yes, right at our curmudgeonly producer, Frank, who, Parker, I don't understand him. Jamie, he does not like Banana Ball.
He does not like Banana Ball. He has strong opinions on Banana Ball. Uh-oh. And
get
right
off
on
my
cue,
lawn, you Banana
right
Ballers.
On cue, right on cue. Here
Why
he is.
Why can't you play baseball the way God intended it without stilts and fun? The reason we're talking about Frank is they're coming to Milwaukee.
Do you hear yourself right now?
Do you hear yourself injecting fun into the sport?
Yeah, how dare sport, something that puts me to sleep on a regular basis, whether I'm listening to it or watching it, even in person sometimes.
I have to ask, are you normally, and I get that Banana Ball is a little extreme, but are you normally, Frank, a baseball purist?
Not really.
Okay.
I love baseball to a degree. It's not like I'm watching baseball games on TV all the time.
What about banana hockey? How would you feel about that? We know you're a so-called hockey fan.
I would just watch actual hockey. I feel the same way about baseball.
Stilts on ice would be difficult, but I'm just saying.
That would be great, though. Backflips.
Ooh, I like
dances.
It is exciting, though, for everybody other than Frank, because banana ball is coming to town. Yes. It's exciting. It is exciting. People are excited, Frank, just not you.
Two sold-out games, Frank, Saturday and Sunday at AmFam Field. The Banana Ballers are coming to town. It's a full entertainment experience, Frank. Is that your problem? You only want partial entertainment experiences? You want to leave wanting more? You ascribe to that old showbiz tenant, always leave them wanting more. You're like, well, I loved going to the Cubs game today. I wish there had been some backflips. I guess maybe next time.
I wish there's wins, Brian.
Well, that's good luck with that.
Are they doing better? Have they
got
more
yesterday.
Wins? Okay,
nope,
all right.
They won yesterday. Right. We'll leave it at that. One day at a time.
All right. One game at a time. I love that.
Yeah, the Cubs and alcoholics.
This is going to be, though, a full, if you're going to be in Milwaukee this weekend for Banana Ball, it is essentially a full experience, because if you were lucky enough to score your tickets or get some in on those third party sites, because there are some available on third party sites.
That's crazy.
I know it is crazy talk, but there's going to be player autograph sessions. There's going to be photo ops. There's going to be parties on the plaza. There's going to be on-field performances, post-game celebrations. The stadium gates, by the way, are going to open several hours before both games, so that if you're a fan of Banana Ball, not Frank, you have plenty of time to take part in the festivities before they actually throw out that first pitch. It's going to be jumping. There's a couple of Wisconsin natives playing in this particular game.
That's how we tie it in, Frank. Yes. Hyper-local, baby. That's how we talk about Banana Ball nonstop.
You see my eyes rolling to
hyper-local. Yeah, you look like my 89-year-old mom. I'm judging the dining room.
There's going to be a Milwaukee native on the party animals, one of the teams playing. And then the former Milwaukee Milkman catcher is going to be part of the Coconuts team. So, Frank, there are legitimate baseball players out on that field.
Hold time out.
You didn't know about the matter?
You're telling me the Savannah Bananas aren't even coming to town?
No, it's the party animals and the local beach coconuts.
Banana Ball, baby. It's a barnstorming tour.
It's a craze, Frank. Everybody's excited about it.
I would get the party animals shirt just for the logo. It's a crazy monkey.
The logos are great.
Are you a party animal?
Frank, I used to be. Now, to quote the Road Warrior, it exists now only in my memory.
Fair.
But I do still remember.
I think the MLB, one of the things I will say is I think the MLB could learn a thing or two from Banana Ball's logos, though. Because the logos are so good. They're so fun. And you actually, you know, they're cool.
Well,
and
I do like the Brewers Artist Series logo this year is cool. I want to keep the classic logos, but I do appreciate the alternative stuff that they put out. So you can choose. I'm not a fan of the Hometown Series, especially Wisco this year.
That's weird.
And I was never a fan of the Southside ones for the Sox. But
really?
Yeah, I love those ones.
Do you really?
I was going to say, I feel like everybody loves those.
Yeah.
Everybody but me.
Ooh, it's another hard take.
I'm the Frank of Southside logos. I'm the Frank of Hometown Series Sox logos.
Wow.
I don't like fun. I don't like,
frivolity. Like no frivolity.
No
whimsy.
Joy whimsy out the window. Listen.
You can't talk about not having whimsy.
Dude, I have FOMO that I'm not going to be at one of the Banana Ball games this weekend.
The fact that you're actually entering the lottery multiple times.
No. You can only enter it once. You can only enter it once.
Yeah, but you've entered multiple lotteries.
Well, no, you get on the way. You enter the. You get on the list.
You literally enter one time.
You get on the list once, and you're on the list. So someday, maybe my future potential grandchildren will get an email at my long dead account.
Don't you feel this is silly when you look at what the product is?
It's a little bit like getting. That's a little bit like getting Packer season tickets, getting into a list and having to wait for years
at all. I'm sorry to cut you off, Jamie. These are not on the same level.
It's one game for $50. It's fun. It's one night of fun in this world that makes fun an anomaly. It's one night to go and see silliness and high energy. And I don't know if you know this, Frank. It's fast-paced, fan-centric entertainment, buddy.
We're never going to change your mind, but we're going to keep picking at you
We're going to keep bothering you with it. And if I ever do go to a game, you know I'm coming in full regalia.
I hope you do.
For a week.
And I will make fun of you.
Oh, and you can try to kill my joy, Frank, but my joy lives forever. Just like the time crunch that Parker keeps signaling us forever. We've got to go. She's Jamie Martinson. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.